Assassin. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Woo! These baseball playoffs have been excellent. And why do you think I'm laughing? Why do you think I'm laughing? Could it be because the Dodgers completely choked? That might be it. That might be it. But we'll get to that once we start talking baseball. First, before we get into the sports, we officially have us a sponsor for Sports Talk with Trop. Welcome, BetStamp, the app. It's BETSTAMP. You can download the app. They provide you with info when it comes to sports betting. And soon I will be, I will have links and I will have special promos that you can use when you sign up for them. So yes, we have us officially a sponsor for the show, BetStamp, the app. Download it today. I am fucking stoked on that shit. So hopefully that opens the floodgates for a few more. But welcome, BetStamp. So yes, I will be talking them up, but also on my social media and stuff like that, my website. I will have, like I said, promos and things like of that nature. But today is the first day that we had our official meeting and all that jazz. So it is official today that we have us a sponsor of the show, and I'm super stoked on that shit. So, woo! Let us get into the sports, though. Let's talk us some Thursday night football. We had the Denver Broncos at the Kansas City Chiefs, and this was a very, very odd game. Kansas City did get the win 19-8. So, yes, as you could tell by that score, it was odd. It was weird because the Kansas City Chiefs offense can make it down the field, but once they hit the red zone, it's weird. They can't seem to score, and so they've had to settle for field goals a lot this season. Now, they're still getting the wins. They're still the Super Bowl champs. So at this point, it's like, too bad. Yeah, they won. If they win ugly, who the fuck cares? Patrick Mahomes has said it multiple times so far this season. We're winning ugly. Don't care. A win's a win, and that is true. And plus, it is the beginning of the season, so it does take some time to kind of work your way through the course of the season, but they're still getting the win. Speaking of Mahomes, had a spectacular night. He went 30 for 40, 306 yards and a touchdown. Travis Kelce had a big night, 124 yards. But this Kansas City defense, man, they made some noise. First of all, Russell Wilson didn't even pass for 100 yards last night, so a real bad game from him. He was sacked four times, had two interceptions, and the Kansas City Chiefs defense also forced a fumble as well. So, it was a good night for them defensively. Like I said, they've been able to make it down the field. It's just once they get into the red zone, it's become a problem. So they might want to work on that, especially once they get to really good teams that they're going to eventually face. But, you know, right now they're still getting the wins, and that's all that matters at this point. But for the Denver Broncos, man, I don't know what you got to say about them. I mean, like, obviously I continue to say it's going to take a minute for the Sean Payton effect to, you know, actually have an effect on them. But I don't know, man. Russell Wilson, he might not be working out here. And this Denver Broncos team's looking pretty bad at this point in time. So we'll see if they could get it turned around. But I don't know. You may not want to. You may want that top draft pick next year or a shot at that. All right, so moving on. I actually, on my YouTube channel, had a fan question. And just so y'all know, I mean, you could tell I don't really promote social media and shit like that because I just don't really care for that. Even with my music, I don't usually respond to people's shit. I don't really have time. And plus, for the most part, most people's comments are usually negative or usually something extremely stupid. So I don't usually promote that shit. But if you do listen to me on YouTube, or if you do go to any of my social medias and you actually ask a legit question, I am happy to answer it and bring the topic up on the show. And so somebody on my YouTube channel actually posed the question on Monday's show. They left a comment, do I think the Patriots are tanking? That's a good question because that's a good possibility. I mean, when the season began, I didn't think that's what the Patriots were even going to attempt to do. I just kind of feel like with who Bill Belichick is as a coach, you would think he just doesn't want to suck just because he's Bill Belichick. He's going to be under a microscope no matter what because he's the greatest coach of this era, especially. So we're going to talk about him every year. And why would the greatest coach ever want to be in the category of losing and suffering your worst losses at home and suffering your worst losses in general? You don't want to go through that. But now here we are. We're in week 6. And the Patriots are in a difficult division. I mean, the Jets are terrible, but they at least, you know, look like they have a little bit of fight in them. But then you got the Bills and the Dolphins who are legit teams in this division. Now, with the Jets, they are getting Aaron Rodgers back next year, so they should immediately improve. So when you compare the Patriots to the rest of their division, they ain't got shit, especially in the quarterback department. Honestly, I feel like when you're looking at them talent-wise, they are the worst team talent-wise, most certainly in that division, but you could probably say that just generally in the NFL. The Patriots are a bad team this year. So at this point in time, they probably don't have any benefit to actually playing out the rest of the season and, you know, trying to get some wins. So it actually does benefit them to start tanking, if you will. Now, when I think about tanking, it's obviously, it has to be, you know, the GMs and the owners and possibly some coaches who would be involved in that. Because when you really sit back and look at it, tanking would mean the whole team would have to be involved in this. And when you really think about it, players and coaches are playing for their jobs every single game. And especially, well, I mean, I guess coaches too. I was going to say especially players, but I think both players and coaches, you don't want to put bad stuff on tape. And you're playing, and when I mean you're playing for next year, I'm not just talking about the team you're currently on. You may get traded next year or be trade bait next year, or your contract may be up next year. So you're always playing for the next game and for next year, and you never want to put bad play and bad coaching out there on tape because that's your resume. And people are going to be looking at that, and they could potentially look at a bad play and be like, yo, that dude just gave up on that play. Do I really want that guy on my team? So as far as tanking goes, I'm sure Robert Kraft is, you know, giving a little nudge to Belichick saying, you know, we don't really have to try that hard the rest of the season, do we? I mean, right now, we're looking like we got a good pick. And next year's draft is really good for quarterbacks. And the Patriots could obviously use a quarterback. But that's not their only problem on offense. They don't have, if Mac Jones had at least, if he had a number one receiver, let's go out there and just say, if Mac Jones had Devontae Adams, he'd look a whole lot better. This offense would look a whole lot better. And I bet you they'd score some points, if anything. So it's not just quarterback where the Patriots have a problem. So yes, tanking benefits them in a way, but it's kind of also hard to start tanking at this point in time. So do I think the Patriots are tanking? Not yet. I'm sure Robert Kraft is kind of looking at it and maybe even saying some things to Belichick. But at the same time, Robert Kraft has never really meddled that much, at least as far as we know. And he's kind of let Belichick do his thing. I mean, I'd say that's been obvious. Because also, you got to take a look at it this way, too. Ever since Tom Brady left the Patriots, the offense has been terrible. It hasn't been good at all. So it's hard to even say that they're technically tanking because this is what their offense has been. So no, I don't think they're tanking, but I wouldn't be surprised if they don't try as hard the rest of the season because it does benefit them to actually keep on losing. So no, I don't think they're tanking, but we'll see how it goes the rest of the season. Now moving on to the week six of the NFL. So far in head-to-head with my homie Simon Ruvalcaba, I don't want to get your guys' hopes up, but there's a possibility that next week we finally may be able to get a show done together. But until we do, we'll keep doing the head-to-head on here. And last week I had a terrible week. I went 6-8, which brought my record up to 48-30. Simon had a good week, and it was good enough to get it all tied up. He went 9-5, and he is also 48-30. So we're both 48-30 on the season, and there's not a lot of differences this week because there's actually a lot of pretty easy picks, in my opinion. So let's get to it. We have us another London game in jolly old London. Have you a spot of tea, even though tea is fucking terrible, in my opinion. But anyways, we have us another London matchup, and I think this is going to be a good-ass matchup. We got us the Baltimore Ravens at the Tennessee Titans. Right now, the Ravens are a 3.5-point favorite. They are coming off of a bad loss, and the Titans are coming off of a good win. So usually what that means, especially in Titans land, that usually means the Titans are going to lose this next game. It is neutral ground, though, but I just kind of feel like the Ravens are a better team. They're better defensively. They're better offensively. They have better weapons. I just think Baltimore is going to get it together, and I just think the Titans, they're gonna keep it close at first, but then once we get going in the second half, Baltimore is going to start to pull away, and I have the Ravens winning this one 27-16. And Simon also has the Ravens winning 27-20. Oh, by the way, in our head-to-head matchup last night, both Simon and I did have Kansas City. Shocker of the day. I had the Kansas City winning 28-17. He had Kansas City in a blowout 48-13. But we just put the scores on here just to put the scores on here. It doesn't really count towards anything. So we both are 1-0 for the week. Moving over here to the early games on U.S. soil, we've got the Washington Commanders at the Atlanta Falcons. Right now, the Falcons are a 2.5-point favorite. The Falcons are money at home, especially with Desmond Ridder at quarterback. Washington, they have not really found any type of identity at all this year. So I'm just kind of going with Atlanta's at home. I expect them to play a good game. I do expect this to be a close matchup because it's two shitty teams playing each other. Usually that means it's going to be a good matchup. So I have it being a close one down to the wire. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be shocked if this ends on like a game-winning field goal, as Atlanta's been known to do so far this season. So I've got them winning a close one 21-19, and Simon also has Atlanta winning a close one 20-16. Then moving on to the Minnesota Vikings at the Chicago Bears. Right now the Vikings are a 3.5-point favorite. Both of these teams are just terrible, at least so far this season. They are division opponents, so I do expect it to be a pretty decent game. But Minnesota, they're going to be missing Justin Jefferson in this one, but I don't think it really matters because Chicago is just that bad. I think Minnesota's slightly better than Chicago. So I just think Minnesota's gonna kind of bounce back from last week's debacle, and I think they're gonna blow out Chicago 30-17. This would be one of the few disagreements that Simon and I have this week. He has Chicago winning 34-21. Then we have the Seattle Seahawks at the Cincinnati Bengals. Right now, the Bengals are a 2.5-point favorite. Both of these teams, I feel like, are on similar grounds at this point in time. I think Joe Burrow, he seemed to found his spark in the last game. He looked really good. Seattle, they've looked pretty good on offense, but really good on defense. I don't know if I'm sold on them yet. The Bengals, they have all the experience, and I just feel like defensively they look really good. I do think this is going to be a close game because, like I said, I feel like both teams are evenly matched in a lot of areas. So I think it's going to be a close battle, but I think I'm going to give the Bengals just the home field edge, and it just looks like they finally got it together last week. And so I've got the Cincinnati Bengals winning a close one 23-21, and Simon also has the Cincinnati Bengals winning 27-16. Then we have the San Francisco 49ers at the Cleveland Browns. Right now, the 49ers are a 4.5-point favorite. Scumbag Deshaun Watson will not be playing in this game. How do you feel about that trade for Deshaun Watson, Cleveland? That guy's really worked out well for you. You know, he missed the last game, missing another game. Gee, that's, That big $200+ million signing guarantee you gave him is really, really panning out for you. We're going to have, P.J. Walker in at quarterback. So I just kind of feel like this is going to be a really bad game for Cleveland. They're going up against the best team in the league, the 49ers. They are clicking on all cylinders. So I've got San Francisco winning 28-10. And Simon also has San Francisco winning 27-13. Then we have Simon's Carolina Panthers at the Miami Dolphins. Right now, the Dolphins are a 13.5-point favorite. That sounds about right because Miami's offense is just amazing. Carolina, not looking so good. They look really bad, actually. So I've got Miami winning in a blowout, 42-10. And Simon also has his Panthers losing to the Dolphins in a blowout, 30-21. Then we have the Detroit Lions at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Right now, the Lions are a 2.5-point favorite. By the way, on my my list here, they obviously didn't change it when I printed it out earlier this week. But this game's actually being moved to one of the late afternoon games. Just because, I mean, I feel like the league even feels like they didn't expect both of these teams to actually look pretty good at this point in the season. So it's actually a premier type game that all of us will kind of want to be watching. So like I said, Detroit is a 2.5-point favorite right now. Detroit, I absolutely believe in more than I believe in Tampa. I mean, obviously both of them have to prove it. But Tampa, I feel like they're kind of, you know, getting those lucky wins. Whereas Detroit actually looks like a pretty good team. So I do think this is going to be a close matchup, but I've just got Detroit winning this one 20-17. And Simon also has Detroit winning a close one, 23-20. Then we have the Indianapolis Colts at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Right now, the Jaguars are a 4.5-point favorite. Indianapolis, they've lost their quarterback, Anthony Richardson, for at least the next month. So they're going to have, dude with all the fucking hair as their quarterback. Jesus, why am I? Gardner fucking Minshew. That's going to be their quarterback for the next month or so. And he hasn't been terrible. He's actually been pretty good coming in. And now they've got Jonathan Taylor all signed up, so he should actually play a prominent role in this game. Defensively, they don't look bad either. But, you know, Jacksonville, they're coming off of two good wins over in London. I still think they need to get it going more offensively. Defensively, they are looking good. But I just feel like, you know, Jacksonville is feeling themselves right now. So I've got them winning 23-14. And Simon also has Jacksonville winning this one 27-13. Then we have the New Orleans Saints at the Houston Texans. Right now, the Saints are a 2.5-point favorite. Houston's looking real good with C.J. Stroud, but they still have a lot of issues in other areas on this team. Whereas the New Orleans Saints are looking actually really solid. Defensively, they look really good. Offensively, they're starting to put it together. You know, they've got Kamara back. So I think New Orleans is actually going to roll in this one 21-10. And Simon feels the same. He's got New Orleans winning 20-12. Then moving on to the afternoon games, we have the New England Patriots at the Las Vegas Raiders. Right now, the Raiders are a 3.5-point favorite. I just kind of feel like this is the point in time. You know, this is, first of all, Bill Belichick going up against his old offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels. He is now the coach of the Vegas Raiders. So this is kind of that going up against the head coach deal. And usually when old Belichick guys go up against Belichick, they usually lose. And even though the Patriots are playing terrible right now, I still feel like they have a sense of pride. They do still want to win, and I feel like Bill Belichick is going to want to win on this one. And Vegas has shown nothing. They don't have an identity yet. Defensively, they look pretty decent, but offensively, who the hell knows what's going on there? And that is McDaniel's bread and butter. So I just kind of feel like this is going to be one of those weird games, and I've got New England winning a low-scoring game, 17-14, and this is one of the other few disagreements Simon and I have this week. Simon has the Raiders winning 31-21. Then we have the Arizona Cardinals at the Los Angeles Rams. Right now, the Rams are a 5.5-point favorite. I just think the Rams, they're not a bad team. They just can't get get it together. A lot of it is the offensive line is terrible, and Matthew Stafford is just running for his life on each and every play. But I feel like the offense is going to get it together this week. The defense is going to get it together. Arizona's a terrible team, so this is always a good get-right team. I've got the Rams kicking ass this week, 35-13. And Simon has a little bit more of a closer matchup, but he does have the Rams winning 27-24. Then we have the Philadelphia Eagles at the New York Jets. Right now, the Eagles are a 6.5-point favorite. The Jets are terrible. The Eagles are really good. That's really all that needs to be said about that one. I have the Eagles just smashing the Jets 28-7. And Simon has the same. He's got the Eagles smashing the Jets 23-13. Then moving on to Sunday Night Football, this should be an absolutely terrible matchup. We have the New York Giants at the Buffalo Bills. Right now, the Bills are a 14.5-point favorite. Daniel Jones isn't expected to play. Don't know about Saquon Barkley, but wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't play. So this should just be another horrible game for the New York Giants. I feel like the Buffalo Bills are going to blow them out 40-3. And guess what? Simon feels the same. He's got Buffalo blowing them out 40-6. So that is that. Then on Monday Night Football, we have my Dallas Cowboys at the Los Angeles Chargers. Right now, the Cowboys are a 1.5-point favorite. The Cowboys really need a get-right game. The Chargers are coming off of a bye week, and this is not a team the Cowboys should be overlooking. As a matter of fact, we should step it up. I kind of feel like we're going to I feel like we're going to bounce back from last week's embarrassment and actually put together a decent game in this one. I think it's going to be close because, like I said, the Chargers aren't a chump team, but I think the Cowboys' defense will put it together. I think the offense will put it together, and I just think we'll have an all-around good game that we've been used to seeing other than Jesus Christ's horrible, terrible ass game from last week against the Niners. I've got the Cowboys winning a close one, 27-24, and Simon also has the Cowboys winning a close one, 24-20. And we do have a couple of teams on bye weeks this week. We have the Green Bay Packers and the Pittsburgh Steelers on bye weeks, even though it's felt like the Steelers have been on a bye week offensively all season. Moving on to playoff baseball. These playoffs have been so fucking awesome. I love playoff baseball. It has so much parity. You really never know what the fuck is going to happen, proven by who is going to the ALCS and the NLCS. Because yes, as of today, we had those matchups set. So let's take it back to the NLDS game 3 earlier this week. The Philadelphia Phillies stomped the Atlanta Braves 10-2. Bryce Harper had 2 home runs. Castellanos had 2 home runs. And the Phillies had 6 home runs total. So they went up. And then game 4 was played last night. And they finished off the Atlanta Braves 3-1. Castellanos had another 2 home run game. And the Philadelphia Phillies are moving on to the NLCS. They took out their division rival again. And they took out the best team in the league. I mean, the Braves, I did not expect them to go out like that. But the Phillies are just playing amazing baseball right now. They starting pitching looks great. Bryce Harper is on fire. Castellanos is on fire. This team ain't nothing to fuck with. And I'm looking at the remaining teams left. I think the Phillies are 100% the favorite. I mean, they're coming back because, you know, they were in the World Series last year. But this team is fucking hot. And they beat the best team in the league because the Braves were obviously, and it wasn't like close. They owned them. And every win that the Phillies had in this series, even the ones that you know, they barely lost. What was game 2? They barely lost that game. So it was straight domination by the Phillies in this one. So shout out to them. And that says that's hard for me to say because I hate all Philadelphia teams. I hate them. But the Phillies just dominated. And in my opinion, they should be the front runner for the World Series at this point. Then moving on to the best NLDS series. Game 3 between the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Arizona Diamondbacks had 4 home runs in the first inning and never looked back. They swept the Los Angeles Dodgers. They got the win in game 3, 4-2. It was beautiful. I mean, talk about domination. The Diamondbacks absolutely dominated the Dodgers. It was beautiful. It was beautiful for a Dodger hater like me to just, I laughed every single game, had a big old smile on my face and said, thank you, Diamondbacks. Thank you for just obliterating the shit. Because this one wasn't even close either. The Diamondbacks just boom, boom, were mashing home runs like it ain't no thing. So I'm expecting this NLCS between the Phillies and the Diamondbacks to be a home run fest. But I don't know, man, but that was fun. I did not expect the Dodgers to choke that early. I was going to pick them to lose in the NLCS and choke then. But thank you for making it great. Thank you for that beautiful surprise. And thank you. You're sitting. You're going to be watching the playoffs at home with us San Francisco Giants fans, Dodgers. So thank you, Diamondbacks. Thank you so much for providing me with all that laughter and joy in that series. It was beautiful. Moving on to the last ALDS game we had on Wednesday, game three between the Houston Astros and the Minnesota Twins. The Astros were able to hold on and get the sweep. They won 3-2, and now they have moved on to their seventh straight ALCS against the Texas fucking Rangers. This is going to be a matchup. So let's get into these championship series matchups. ALCS begins on Sunday. Texas versus Houston. As somebody who lives in Texas, I'm excited about this. You know, I don't have any issues with either of these teams, as a matter of fact. I mean, my San Francisco Giants beat the Rangers in the World Series, so I ain't got no hate towards them. Thank y'all for that that World Series, their first one ever back in 2010. That was awesome. Loved it. But I don't have anything against either of these teams. I like a lot of their players. I like both of their managers because both of their managers at one point in time managed my San Francisco Giants, and I have a great amount of respect for both Dusty Baker and, Bruce Bochy. Jesus Christ, how do I fucking forget the name of Bruce Bochy? As a San Francisco Giants fan, he's like Jesus Christ to us because he won us three World Series. God, I'm sorry, Bruce. But anyways, this is going to be an excellent matchup between two excellent teams. I mean, the Texas Rangers are hot, smoking hot. The home runs galore. I mean, Adolis Garcia, this guy just mashes home runs like it ain't no thing. Corey Sager, this guy was great when he played for the Dodgers, especially in the postseason. So look out for him to have a good run here. But then you got the Astros. Like I said, seventh straight ALCS. They know what it's like to not only get here, but they know what it's like to win here. So this is going to be a really good matchup. I think it's going to be a battle between really strong teams. And also, it's funny, too, because we've got Verlander pitching with the Astros, Scherzer pitching with the Rangers, and it looks like he might make an appearance at least at some point in this championship series, which is great. But both of them were on the Mets to start the season. Both got traded away, and now here they are. Good for them. They are actually on a competitive squad and may be headed to the World Series. So we'll see which one it is. But I am going with the experience in this one. I'm going with the Houston Astros to win in six games. They do own the Texas Rangers this season. They're actually 6-1 in Arlington. So I'm going Houston. But I think it's going to be a good matchup, and I'm excited just to see who wins it. Maybe Texas will surprise. I would not be shocked because I've told y'all about Bruce Bochy. The dude knows how to manage a team. He turns them, every team he goes to, he turns them around immediately. Hell, he made it to the ALCS. I feel like that's an accomplishment in and of itself for your first season managing, but you know that's not what he wants. He wants the ring because he's already got three. Why not get four? But I'm going with the experience just because Houston owns them. Houston knows how to win here. And until you beat the champs, I can't pick against them. So I'm going Houston in six games. Then the NLCS starts on Monday. And it's going to be the Arizona Diamondbacks versus the Philadelphia Phillies. And like I said, I'm expecting a home run fest with this. Now, looking at these two teams, while the Diamondbacks absolutely obliterated the Dodgers, the Phillies are the hottest team. They are, first of all, you know, they represented in the World Series last year. They did lose, but they were there. So this is what they did last year. I mean, they got hot in the second half. It got really hot once the playoffs rolled on. And they're basically mimicking what they did last year. The Diamondbacks, they kind of seem a little bit fluky in ways, but they did kick the crap out of the Dodgers. But with that being said, I just think the Phillies are the better team. I think they have a better batting order. I think they have a better starting pitching lineup. And I just think they're the overall better team. So I've got the Phillies actually winning in five games. I do think the Diamondbacks will make it make the games interesting, but the Phillies are too damn good right now. So my World Series right now is actually a rematch of what we had last year, the Phillies versus the Astros. So we'll see how it plays out, of course, but those are my predictions on the ALCS and the NLCS. Now, since we have us some NBA basketball, 2 fucking weeks away, people, we are headed towards the beginning of the NBA season. So now that means time for some predictions and what I feel like, how the season is going to shake up this season. So, of course, since I'm a Lakers fan, we're going to start it off in the Western Conference with the Pacific Division. So today I'm going to do the Pacific Division and the Atlantic Division. I'm going to choose one division, West and East, each episode. So today is going to be Pacific and Atlantic. Monday is going to be another Western Conference division, Eastern Conference division. Next Friday, same thing. And then the episode following that, I will actually do my playoff predictions and who I think is going to ultimately be the NBA champion when it's all said and done. So let's get it started in the Western Conference with the Pacific Division. I've got my Los Angeles Lakers winning this division. The reason why is because we looked really good in the second half last year. And then obviously we made it to the Western Conference Finals. And it's because, you know, we put it together. LeBron and AD finally got healthy. But then the addition of Rui Hachimura and Austin Reeves, like, they really made us a legit team. And then we had D'Angelo Russell as well, looked pretty good as well. So this team is basically that exact same team at the second half. Now, of course, the Lakers always depend on health. You could say that about every team, though. So we're just going to pretend like the injuries will be minimal to LeBron and AD. I mean, when it comes to Anthony Davis, it's pretty much when's dude going to get injured, because he's always fucking injured. You just hope it's not one of those he's out for a couple of months or the rest of the season deal, which can always happen. But, and then with LeBron, he's going to be turning 39 in December. So he's obviously getting older, but the dude is still can ball. He still plays at a high level, and he always takes care of his body in the way he should. So I expect him to just have a minimal amount of injuries, if any. So we'll just pretend that the Lakers are not going to be suffering through injuries. If they do suffer through some bad injuries, especially the Anthony Davis, they're going to have issues, because Anthony Davis is the driving force of this squad. Yes, LeBron is the better player, not only historically, but just better player overall still. But Anthony Davis, when he has a good game, the Lakers ball out. They always play well. So if Anthony Davis is able to keep the injuries at a minimum, we should be a damn good team, just because we kept the second half team intact. And so, yes, I'm expecting the Lakers to actually win the division this year and be one of the best teams in the Western Conference, as they should be. Finishing at number 2 in the Pacific Division, I've got the Sacramento Kings. To me, with the Kings was last year a fluke. That's what they're going to have to prove. Because, I mean, yes, they were great last year, but was it a fluke? They haven't proven shit yet. I don't think it's going to be a fluke. I think they're still going to be a good team, obviously, since I've got them finishing in second place. But I don't know if they're a championship-level team, and I don't know if they could keep up with what we've got in this Pacific Division. I mean, shit, you've got LeBron and AD on the Lakers. Then you've got Beal, Durant, and Booker on the Suns. Then you've got CP3, Steph Curry on the Warriors. And then you got the Clippers. You've got Kawhi and Paul George. So it's like this division is actually stacked with superstars, and I kind of feel like they're going to be beating up on each other all season long. And so that's why I've got the Kings finishing in second place. I still think they're going to be a good squad, but I just think they're going to fall back a little bit, especially on the defensive side of things. And if the Lakers are able to stay healthy, they're going to be a really good team defensively. Moving on to who I think is going to finish in third place in the Pacific Division, I've got the Phoenix Suns. As I mentioned, they traded for Bradley Beal in the offseason. They've got Kevin Durant, who they traded for last season. And then, of course, Devin Booker, who's just been phenomenal his entire time he's been with the Suns. So they shouldn't have an issue scoring points. It's going to be defensively, as usual, is going to be their problem. And so, you know, so with the Lakers, because the Lakers are going to be good defensively. If Davis and LeBron are able to stay healthy, they're great defensively. So it's going to be difficult for these high-scoring teams with really no center, because that's an issue for the Suns. Yes, they traded away DeAndre Ayton, who obviously did not want to be there, but he was a pretty good center. And they don't really have anybody who's a good center. They just have a bunch of mediocrity at center. So I feel like their defense and the center is going to be an issue, but they shouldn't have any issues scoring points. They might have issues with injuries, of course, just as everybody will, but Beal and Durant especially have been battling through injuries over the years, and then Booker tends to have, you know, hamstring injuries every once in a while as well. So I do expect them to score a lot of points, but I think defense is going to be a huge issue for the Phoenix Suns. Then finishing at number four in the Pacific Division. Notice I haven't mentioned them yet, but I've got the Golden State Warriors kind of falling off this year. You know, they're getting old. And they started to, it's creeped through even the year they won the championship a couple years ago. It's starting to creep through, and I feel like it's going to creep through even more. Their big trade this offseason was for Chris Paul, or their big move this offseason was for Chris Paul. And yes, I have a great amount of respect for Chris Paul, but the dude is old as fuck as well. So I kind of feel like the Warriors are now going to start to kind of move out of that dynastic era. I think it's going to be a slow shift to this team is going to finally kind of not really be a competitive, I guess. They're not going to really be a team you fear anymore. Draymond Green is already injured. And he's going to be missing at least, I think, a couple of weeks to start the season. So he's already suffered injuries. Like I said, CP3 is old as fuck. Steph Curry's been known to suffer through injuries. So I just kind of feel like it's going to be one of those difficult seasons for the Warriors. But I think it's going to be even more difficult for the team I've got finishing in fifth place in the Pacific Division, the Los Angeles Clippers. And really, it's because they're the fucking Clippers. First of all, you've got always injured Kawhi, always injured Paul George. This team has never got it together. And yes, they made a run at the end of the season last year. Whoop-de-fucking-do. Until the Clippers actually prove something, fuck them. They ain't shit. They ain't gonna be shit. You are the secondary Los Angeles team. Get the fuck out of here. You ain't gonna be shit until you actually do shit. So, you are shit. So yeah, I got the Clippers just finishing in fifth place. Who knows what they're going to do? I'm sure they'll get a few good wins here and there, but I'm sure what we're going to hear about most of the season is Kawhi is injured, Paul George is injured, zippity-doo-dah, zippity-a. Moving on to the Eastern Conference and the Atlantic Division, I've got the Celtics winning this one again. Yes, they lost Marcus Smart, which I felt like was a dumb move, because Marcus Smart has always been like that grimy dude who will do the dirty work, but also he's a great motivator, and he just made a lot of really big plays. So I was actually kind of shocked that he kind of felt like he was the heart of their team for many years. But they ended up trading him away to Memphis. But they did make a really good addition by trading for Drew Holiday a couple weeks ago. And I actually think that makes up for the Marcus Smart loss. It may not make up for the heart portion of it, but I like Drew Holiday. The dude is money, and especially when it comes to the playoffs. So I just feel like the Celtics actually got better. For some reason, everybody's talking about Kristaps Porzingis being a big factor for them. Porzingis has pretty much been a garbage-ass player for the majority of his career. So until he actually does something, why are we talking this dude up? But okay. But I think the Celtics are just going to be a really good squad and, of course, be competitive throughout the year. Then finishing in second place in the Atlantic Division, I have the New York Knicks. I felt like they had a pretty solid year last year. Of course, they had the bad playoff end, but I just kind of feel like they're going to bounce off of last year. Jalen Brunson had an amazing year last year, and I feel like he's going to just, you know, roll right back into it, have another good season this year. I don't think they're good enough to, like, overtake the Celtics in this division, but I definitely think they're going to be competitive, and I think they're just going to have a solid year, and we'll see how it plays out if they're like a legit playoff contender. But I think they're going to be, they've got the defense, they've got the offense, they've got the good coach. I feel like the Knicks are going to put it together and have a solid season. Finishing in third place in the Atlantic Division, I have the Philadelphia 76ers. The James Harden drama has just been an issue for the entire offseason. And I don't think it's going to get better. You could just tell it's going to be now all of a sudden today, they're saying they're not going to trade him. What the fuck? I mean, this is so stupid. It's like trade him today, trade him tomorrow, not trading him today, not trading him. Like, it's so up and down, such a roller coaster, and just a bunch of stupid ass drama where I'm just like, how can this be good for any team? So I just feel like the 76ers are just going to have a bad season straight up because of this James Harden drama. Even if they trade him, who the fuck cares? I don't think this season's even salvageable for them. And, you know, Joel Embiid is an excellent player, and I feel bad for him that he has to go through all this bullshit. Who knows? Maybe he will end up being trade bait at some point in this season, because I'm sure he's probably fed up with all this bullshit too. But the James Harden drama just doesn't bode well for any team. And so I've got the 76ers finishing in third place. I don't even think they're going to be like a competitive team this year. I think they'll get some good wins, but I don't think they'll even be headed to the playoffs. Then at number, finishing in fourth place in the Atlantic Division, I have the Toronto Raptors. I don't feel like they're going to be an exciting team at all. I feel like they're going to be the worst teams in the league. And I mean, they have no stars. They have nothing. So I just kind of expect this to be a very awful year for the Toronto Raptors. And finishing out the Atlantic, I have the Brooklyn Nets, who I think are going to be even worse than the Toronto Raptors because their star player is Ben Simmons, the world's biggest crybaby loser, who I don't even know how many games this dude's played yet, but I mean, him and his fucking, I can't play because of my mental health issues. Why the fuck are you here, dude? It's just ridiculous. And so this is their star. That's their leader. So when that is your star, leader, number one player, I look at that and go, ooh, you are going to have a long, long season, Brooklyn Nets fan. So that's how I feel like the Pacific and Atlantic divisions are going to play out this season. Like I said, over the next couple of episodes, I'll be breaking down how I feel like the NBA season is going to play out. But until then, enjoy the rest of the weekend of sports. We got playoff baseball. We got us some college football. And we got us some pro football. We got us some fights. So enjoy the weekend of sports. And I will talk to you all on Monday.